So I want to start with something you put in your press kit because I just love it. You kind of open with the fact that the film came to you almost in its entirety as a kind of a stream of consciousness. Can you expand on that? Tell us kind of how this story came about.
I'll tell you how the interest in kind of tackling this thing came about, and then I can tell you, I'll try to do it very quickly, and I'll try to tell you that this is a very different and weird writing experience for me, at least, than some of the other stuff that I've worked on. So I think a couple of years before I started writing the screenplay, I just, I'm a married man myself. I got three kids. As you might know, once you become a family man, your kind of social circle shifts a little bit. You start kind of seeing more parents from school and, live inside this kind of family environment. And I think there was a time frame where it felt like a lot of people around us, a lot of relationships were kind of going up in flames, a lot of couples were getting separated, and all sorts of different reasons and stories that came with it. And I remember from the few conversations that I had with a few of the people involved, there was just, even though everybody's a different individual, different person, different types of problems or what have you, it always kind of came down to the feeling that some people within the relationship, within the family structure as adults, started feeling like they haven't really accomplished what they set out to accomplish when they were younger, or that they weren't allowed, or they had to make sacrifices and things of that nature. And, with that going on, I could see some sort of a, don't even ask me why, it just felt kind of very connected to me with the fact that we're going through this, ongoing technological revolution that in many ways is changing the way we interact socially with other human beings, and to a certain degree creates obstacles that kind of renders us almost like emotionally disabled in our way to communicate with one another in the way that we were intended to do, if that makes any sense to you. And then, obviously when something like that happens, you come back home and you start kind of like, hearing stories from the outside, you start looking at your own relationship, your own life, your own children, the way that they're kind of growing up, and kind of, I started wondering about their generation and, how much with these kind of like ideals of family and raising children and the way we're kind of experiencing them today, how much that could possibly change in 20, 30 years from now, So that was the genesis of it. And then I started thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it, and all sorts of different ideas came to my mind. It was very clear to me that I wanted to follow, so like one character at the center of it all, and also through that character be able to have some sort of a reflection about the human condition. And those ideas, I never even wrote them down. I never even put them in a drawer or anything like that. They were not saved on a file on my computer, nothing. It was just all in my head. And then it's, I don't know, one day I just felt ready and I just sat down and it just kind of, and I must say the film, I mean, of course we went through several drafts afterwards and I worked with James on it when I decided to cast him and all that kind of stuff. But the more or less the film was there already from the first draft. So that was kind of a nice thing that happened,
Very cool. Speaking of cast, can you talk about kind of the history of your casting? Because all the way back to like Holly with the great Ron Livingston, and you've worked with Josh Hartnett, Woody Harrelson, Ron Perlman, and now James, and so many wonderful people. How cool has it been to see how embraced you have been with your work with the tremendous cast you've been able to get?
For the question, I mean, I think, the most enjoyable thing to me in the entire long and sometimes excruciating experience of making films is the time you get to work with actors. I think that's where the magic happens. And I do think it's an actor's medium first and foremost. I think if you look at films, you know, if you have a strong central performance, there's always a chance you might take something from a movie or enjoy sitting through it. And on the contrary, if you have a great script and a great director, but the performances just don't kind of click, that the film is never going to work. So for me, like, that was always the most important thing, is to both enjoy the time that you spend with those people that kind of do a very difficult thing by opening up to you, and you know, I can imagine being an actor is a very scary thing, because you're trusting somebody with the way that they basically capture you and represent you, and then they go to the editing room and they have another way of maybe distorting the intent of your performance. So there's got to be a big measure of trust there, and I find myself very, you know, drawn to the person in the actor always. A lot of the people that I've cast that you've mentioned, I think with me, more often than not, I would be, you know, familiar with an actor's previous work and be a fan of his. But I've never cast anyone without trying to see some of their interviews, you know, with, like, not the Jay Leno part, not like the kind of, you know, not the facade, but to try and kind of get a sense of who they are as human beings, to maybe find them in some obscure event where they're not even sure if anybody's going to ever see them talking or something, to just get a sense of who the person is. It's always been usually important to me to meet the people that I'm casting and have a conversation with them, not just about the script or about the work, but rather just to kind of see that we have some sort of a human connection, that we can work together. So, and I feel like also there's tremendous actors that sometimes we, you know, James is a great example of it. I mean, I love what he did in the film. I think he's done such an amazing performance. And I was 100% certain that he's the right person for this and he can do it. And not always you get a chance to kind of cast the people that you want also in the piece. So, you know, I've been lucky in that respect as well.
Very cool. A little bit about tone. I have a question about tone for the film. I was amazed at how many times I laughed in the film, which I wasn't expecting. There's a lot of, for instance, the convertible when he's driving and he's in a hazmat suit made me giggle. There's also the element of, you know, making kind of fun of sex. I love the endowment joke at the end, the penis joke. Can you talk about adding humor to sci-fi? I don't think we see enough of it. And was that conscious, or just that's part of your writing?
So glad that you caught on to it. It's wonderful to hear. I mean, for me, you know, the word dystopia is always being kind of, you know, thrown out there when you're telling a story like this that has like a little bit of a bleak undertone as well. But I don't know if that's the Israeli part that you might be familiar with, Gani, but I always have this kind of feeling that when things get really, really bad, or they're about to, it's like, what else can you do? You know what I mean? Like, other than take it with a smile a little bit. So I find a lot of humor in the human condition, as you know, tough things turn to be sometimes. You know, I just always try to look at it with a measure of, like, with a grain of salt a little bit, just to kind of, you know, remind myself that still through all this, this is part of the living experience, I guess, you know. So in the film, it was important to me that throughout this entire kind of, like, especially the existential angst that the character of Adam Bird goes through, that if we're going to go through this journey with him and sort of, like, maybe feel inclined to reflect on our own life just a little bit. I didn't want us to just be completely sad and serious about it. I wanted us to kind of find the humor in it a little bit, you know. So I thought that all those little touches, and I'm so glad you kind of pointed out and noticed it, but they were all very deliberate, obviously, like, the, you know, and also with respect to sex, I think that this is another thing that is in the kind of sort of the periphery of the film, this idea that we all have these secret fantasies and secret desires, and which are very much part of the human experience. And yet, even in 2020, this is such a taboo, something that nobody ever wants to talk about or admits, or like it's just something that, you know, we all keep to ourselves in our back pocket, so to speak. So you look at the internet, and I believe I've seen in a few places that there is this statistic about the internet being 70% of the traffic is sex-related, you know, in one way or another. But then that's not something people publicize or want to talk about. That must mean that it includes most of us that are going online. So for me, all this stuff was humorous, and I thought that the... also, the idea of losing touch with the physical world. So then, you know, because we were talking a lot about the way to design the doll, for instance, and that was very deliberate, you know, to try and make it like something atrocious in real life. You know? So, yeah.
Very cool. So I want to switch. You have such a great background in virtual reality and technology on film. Can you talk a bit about some of the fun that you had with bringing this world to life? I even in particular, I love the opening of the film. I almost think it's a Big Bang, what it looks like, the opening sequence.
Yeah, that was the intent. That was exactly the intent, was to kind of do some sort of a race through the creation of the universe, you know, from the Big Bang into the kind of, you know, the our own little galaxy through the sun and everything, you know, so it was definitely the intent. I mean, I think, you know, my approach to visual effects, I'm not anti-technology, oddly enough, even though the film has that kind of, you know, a little bit of that message in it as well. I just think technology should be used for the right things in the right measure, so to speak. So, especially with this film, and having done a film before that, you know, was almost going overboard with the possibilities of what you can do. In this one, I kind of wanted to go the opposite route and sort of restrain the usage of it and try and almost achieve progress or like an advanced version of our planet with the least amount of kind of interruption or the least amount of. You know, show off, if you will. You know, so I think that was the goal, but it was still actually a very kind of specific thing that we were trying to achieve. And I think the opening sequence, for instance, to me, the reason why it was so important to me to do was so that when Maria has this monologue about how we might all be selves as part of a greater body, I wanted this to be in your head from the beginning of the film. So then when she talks, whether you remember it or not, subconsciously, you've actually gone through that journey that connects to what she's talking about, you know?
Very cool. Can you talk about getting to film in Lithuania and also about having crews from Lithuania? I noticed in the credits you have a lot of Lithuanians on the film.
So I shot quite a bit, done, you know, small things, big things, produced a few things in kind of the Eastern European hemisphere. Lithuania is actually Northern Europe more than it is Eastern Europe, in a sense that, to my mind, it's closer to Scandinavia than it is to some of the countries of Indian Eastern Europe, and it's not good or bad, just in terms of culturally. It was almost very surprising to me too when I first went there. So the mentality is very Scandinavian, very organized, very sort of like what you might expect in Sweden, you know what I mean, in terms of the culture. The crews were terrific. The production and the people that were helping us locally, Carolis and Linus, who are like our actual producing partners on this film, couldn't have asked for a better supportive kind of team on the ground. And one of the things that was amazing when you work in a country like that, which is a small place, is that everywhere you want to go or shoot or do, it's all possible. You know, like these guys just, you point at a building and you go, I want to shoot in that 10th floor, and the next day there's a contact that you're talking to, you know. And this is the kind of liquidity that I imagine in America is only safe for the likes of Spielberg or something. So it's a nice feeling to have when you're in a place like that. But it was a fun experience, and they're very, very professional. And I'm actually planning to go back there with another song.
Awesome. One of my favorite sequences is near the end of the film, is when Adam meets his clone. And can you talk about the staging of that and how you accomplish shooting the same actor playing two roles on screen that are communicating? I loved how seamless it looked. I couldn't find the cuts. I was kind of amazed.
Thank you so much, Lynn, again. Yeah, obviously that was the climax of the film. So this was like, you know, for the film to work, you know, this scene was almost like, was the kind of make or break moment of the entire film. And it also was deliberately planned as this kind of long scene, which I don't even know. Because before we made the film, I was kind of looking at other films that have done something similar, and rarely did I find such a kind of comprehensive time that you have to spend with two characters interacting like that. So it was very, very complicated, and it's a funny thing, because the best thing that happens when you make scenes like this come to life is that they don't look complicated anymore. But it was terribly complicated. We had to rehearse. First of all, I had to rehearse both versions of the scene with James playing both of these iterations with another actor, right? So, because he had to play to someone else. So we had to kind of find the scene twice, and this is very difficult, because imagine he goes to one character and then he needs to react to what the character was doing, but by the time he's playing the other side of it, the guy who kind of mirrors him doesn't necessarily have the same intensity or the same type of body language or whatever to react from. So you kind of have to find a way to remind yourself the takes you liked and how he's going to behave and kind of create the eye contact. We did that in rehearsal on the ground, and then we did this on set. But when you're doing this on set, the other thing that happened, which thankfully I had a lot of experience with VFX for my second film, you as the director kind of know exactly where you're going. In James's case, and to his great credit, he totally understood what I was doing. But then sometimes you start feeling that besides you and the VFX supervisor, the people are starting to fall behind. Even sometimes your DP or whatever, like, they're not sure why you want to do what you're trying to do. And it becomes this kind of, you know, difficult experience, because you're trying to race forward on set, but you're starting to lose the people next to you because they're not sure what you're filming anymore. So a lot of it was done to tennis balls. A lot of it was done with, like, a standing. Some of it was done to me, the area, you know, so. It was very complicated, but I was very, very pleased with the way it came out. And there's some shots there that were deliberately crafted to be kind of like trying to add a few new shticks into this whole kind of clone echelon of movies. You know? So I was glad that they came together nicely.
Yeah, it came out beautifully. A quick question, and then I'll get to my last question. But the quick question, Delroy's... attire in the film, specifically his hat, was that a choice that Delroy brought to the film, or that was a costume design choice? Because the way he looks in the film is so so different, and I love it. It adds such a weird feel for him. Where did that choice come from?
The outfit was sort of like, I had this thing in mind when I was talking to Delroy, who, by the way, was, like, you know, one of the first guys I thought about for this role. And I was so glad that he agreed to do it, and I'm so, so glad that he's having a year where I'm betting he's going to win the Academy Award for the Five Bloods as well. So that's a lot of fun all around. But when I had this kind of idea of doing a version of the Steve Jobs personality, you know, with the turtleneck and all that kind of stuff. And I pitched it to Delroy, and I pitched him the idea of putting glasses on him and stuff. And then I said to him, I said, look, I have this stupid idea. I don't know where it came from, but, like, because the guy was supposed to be kind of a recluse in retirement, so So I told him, I said to Delroy, you know, there's this hatch that I in LA, I used to live next to a street in my old house. There was like a retirement home. And a lot of these guys in retirement would sit outside with this small straw hat. So I told him it always reminds me of retirement, the straw hat. And I had this idea. And he just loved it because he told me that people always want him to look the same because he's got this kind of iconic, you know, bald head look. So he just, you know, went all the way into it. And turned out he's kind of a hat fanatic. And the specific hat we got for him came from a contact of his, you know, that was making hats for him and stuff. So, yeah.
Very cool. Last question kind of gets to kind of the element that you brought up, that you're a parent. There's a real onus about this being a family, and there are three kids involved. And I love at the end of the film the discussion that they have about maybe they can improve their kids, and that being a radical idea. But I almost thought that was kind of the heart of the story is, if we're talking about the future generations, can you talk about how maybe being a parent made this film what it is, if that makes sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, this whole thing about, I mean, I'm happily married and happily a father, but certainly the kind of joke about him coming home and seeing the kids all connected into their own worlds and stuff, that's something that if nothing else, that certainly came from me, you know what I mean? Like, I just started noticing how my kids are growing in a different environment, and both them and their friends are so addicted to devices. You know, we've actually since then taken some action as parents in that regard, but like, I'm talking about situations where when another child comes for a play date and you turn your back and then they're both sitting next to each other with their devices, and you're like, what's going on with the wall? Like, you're playing with each other, you're here. So, certainly that was one part of it. And the idea the idea of improvement, again, I think it's a moral question, because that I actually believe is coming. I don't think that's even science fiction. I think that's science future, science fact, you know. I think that will happen. And then you have to ask yourself, would you do this? Would you sign up for this, you know? Either as yourself, or would you want your kids to do something like this, you know? If they can finally get a leg up by implanting something into their body or whatever. In that respect, personally, I'm very much of a purist. I'm not, you know, I don't have judgment for people that decide to kind of, I don't know, do plastic surgery or whatever, but as it's clear from the film, I also have this feeling like we're biological creatures. And there's a danger that something gets lost when you forget where you came from, you know, maybe. But all with a smile, as you said before.
Well, Guy, I love the film, and I agree with you. I'm a little bit pessimistic about anything involving children, but I will say, if there is science fact in your film, I do hope we get those kick-ass laser razors, because I could use one. That's awesome. But, Guy, thank you so much. Just kind of final word, is there anything that you're working on now that you would be able to share, or anything coming down the pipeline for you?
I'm working on a couple of projects that I'm attached to direct, and there's one TV show that was kind of an active development that I've developed based on a book. From all of this, as a, you know, I think the next film I'm going to make, I can tell you, is probably going to be in the psychological thriller horror genre, but still kind of bearing some sort of a social message, as this one has. So it's just a too big of a pitch for one line for now, but I need to get it down.
Well, thank you so much again, and best of luck with the next film. And Emily, thanks for setting this up. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you so much, Gary. Look forward to speaking to you about the next one. Thank you for all the kind words and thoughtful questions.
Oh, I appreciate it. Bye, guys. You have a wonderful day, guys. Bye.